Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Budiwa Kabaza, and for today, we're going to be chatting with the team from Rentoza. They are a technology business in South Africa that is in the business, I'm trying to find some of the good, a good word, but it's in the name, you know, where you're able to rent, you know, certain consumer goods, particularly in the technology and appliance space. I think that's a big part of their business. I know that there's a lot other things that are going on, but we are joined by co-founder and chief marketing officer, that is Mishan. Is it pronounced Ratan?
Yes, correct.
Mishan Ratan. And I'm actually at Rentoza's offices in Sandton, Johannesburg. And, just been checking out some of the operations, talking to a couple of people. Rentoza, you are the chief marketing officer, so you can give us the 30-second elevator pitch on the company.
Okay, fantastic. So what is Rentoza? Rentoza is actually Africa's first subscription platform for product, right? What we're trying to do is we're trying to change the way people access product completely. We are a non-credit, non-ownership model, which means we don't look at your credit score. And you don't own the products from us. So it's not rental really, it's actually pure subscription.
Yeah.
So, why we exist, of course, is to really change the way people utilize the products in their everyday life. Mm-hmm. How we do this is we challenge the traditional models of credit and ownership by using a subscription model.
Yeah.
And what we're truly, really trying to do for people is we're actually trying to make sure that we can give people the flexibility to have the products that they need as their lifestyle changes,
yeah,
and support them with that as they grow.
Yeah.
So I know there's a lot of words in there, but we actually give people access at affordable rates and flexible terms. Doesn't exist in the market currently, and that's what we do at Rentoza.
One of the questions I do have to ask, because we have been following Rentoza for a couple of years. We had your CEO, Avinash, on this platform.
Yes.
Quite some time back. I'm going to call it 2020. Mm. So maybe you could give us a sense of, in 2024, right?
Yeah.
What does the business look like now compared to where you guys were, maybe 4 years ago? And maybe in that you could clarify for us when exactly was the start point for the business.
Yeah. So 2020 was actually the start point of our business, right? So we had a model that lived prior to that. We pivoted twice. It was a marketplace initially, then it was a rent-to-own model. It wasn't meeting the vision that we had initially set ourselves for the business.
Yeah.
So during that time in 2019, we were looking at the market. There was a lot of subscription models growing, Netflix, Spotify, all of that within the country. So people started understanding what subscription was a lot better, and it was getting, a wider appeal in the market. So we said to ourselves, hey, this seems like a perfect model for us to, leverage to do what we needed to do.
Yeah.
And that was us rebuilding the model in 2020, beginning of that. 2020, end of Feb, we launched this, what you see now is Rentoza subscription. COVID happened. Obviously, in March, there was full lockdown. And that's actually when our business started exploding. So because of the need of everyone in the market to have access to these products, people were unsure of what's going to happen in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, tomorrow. We needed to find a new way to work from home. We actually didn't understand what was going on. Things like appliances, people were scurrying around trying to get stuff because there was no one, some people didn't have washing machines, so they were like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to wash my clothes now. So how do I solve this problem?
Yeah.
And it just sort of opened us up to the market completely during March 2020. We were actually doing about, I'd say, 18,000 Rand monthly recurring revenue at that time. And we had about, there was four of us. And we had hired one sort of manager to help us with, operationalizing the pieces that we had done. And that was sort of 4 years ago when it exploded. The business has continued to grow. We've seen an average growth rate of about 20-25% month on month for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Where we sit now at the end of our financial year, end of Feb 2024, we actually have 197 million Rand worth of assets under management. We, again, are continuing to grow at 20% month on month. We have a subscription book of 13,000 active subscribers as we stand now. And we have a monthly recurring revenue of about 10.5 million Rand.
Okay.
And then in terms of staff contingent, we went from four or five of us in 2020 to where we stand now. We're just under 200 people within the business. Right. And we have offices in three major metros. Obviously, where we are right now is our HQ here in Johannesburg. We've then got our office in Cape Town, where a big portion of the whole development team sits there, as well as marketing and payments. And some of the logistics and recoveries team. And then you've got the Durban office, which has got support, payments, recoveries, and distribution from there as well. Mm. That's where we are in the 4 years from, you know, sort of where COVID happened. And I think the timing for us was key. And that's what's given us the ability to escalate and grow, to what we've seen in the last 4 years.
I actually think it's quite brilliant, you know, the level of growth that you guys have been able to register, especially the headcount and I think the revenue and your assets under management. I like the fact that you use assets under management because you don't typically think, you know, AUM is a metric that's typically used by fund managers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But you guys do have a big asset book that's going out into the market. Two things before we let you go, being cognizant of your time. The first one is the idea of renting things, the idea of subscriptions. It seems that right now everyone is on a subscription train. We've spoken quite a bit to the guys at platforms like Flex Club, Planet 42, that are doing vehicles. I never thought I'd hear of vehicle subscriptions, but here we are. We've also spoken to people, obviously, you've got the property space. It's changing, right?
For sure.
You've got traditional rents, you've got the Airbnbs. There are a lot of other subscription models that are now being offered by your hotel group. So everything, especially in the world of software, and entertainment is a subscription model. You alluded to, you know, the growth of Netflix and all of that stuff that you guys were noting, you know, during the COVID years. Has the South African consumer, you've got 13,000 customers on your book, but has the South African consumer arrived at the point of accepting that they can rent a fridge or rent a phone? I think it's a bit, and I understand that's the biggest piece of your business. And I think the upgrade cycles for contracts and all that stuff, it might be easier for a person to say, after a period of time, I'll send it back or what. But for other appliances, fridges, TVs, all of that stuff, has the South African consumer arrived at that point, or are you still educating?
Listen, I think we'll still have to continue educating even when we're a massive business, to be honest with you, because the mere thought of subscription is still something quite foreign to people. We in South Africa, it's ownership is a big thing for us right now. Yeah. You know, it's a multitude of things that have gotten us here, and people still want to own things. You know, they want to have things and go, hey, this is mine, you know, even at the detriment of their financial position now. And this is just sort of, I think, you know, what was the journey we've gone on as a democratic South Africa. I think going back to, you know, has it arrived? I think yes, a portion of the country is understands it. People are starting to, now that we've been doing it for 4 years, we're seeing a lot more people understand this. It's also, you know, like you're saying, proliferation of other subscription models on the sides of this that are sort of starting to build that education for everybody. And, you know, you'll see this, and I said this in 2020 in an interview, that in 5 years' time, you'll see almost everything on subscription. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe everything will move there, right? It's because we've seen tremendous, you know, downside macro winds that have happened over the last few years. The world has changed substantially. People are reassessing their lives. Like, things are always in hyperflux. Even in this stage where COVID's over, still, we're still feeling the, you know, the impact of what happened during COVID. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the interest rate pieces. People are making very, very different decisions now. Yeah. They want to make different decisions. They don't know how to.
Yeah.
We're providing a solution to them in the market. We're going, here's an alternative option, right? Still, you've got to educate them. They don't really understand it. It's not rent. Why is it not rent? Oh, it's non-credit. So what does that mean? You know, so we'll continue to educate. But once people understand what it is, the light bulb, you know, goes off and they go, this is exactly, you know, how I should be living my life, because it gives you the flexibility you need. You're never tied down. You don't have long-term liability anymore. And even things like you're talking about, like fridges and those kind of things. I mean, fridges are our third highest selling subscriptions within the business, right? And that's been like that consistently. What we fail to realize is that we sit and we look at it and we go, oh, you know, as far as we can see, you know, people can have these things. Actually, there's 22 million people in South Africa. And where we started is that they don't even have access to these products.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, everybody is attacking this group of people that are, you know, credit worthy and have like major disposable income, and they can value and validate them. Actually, just under half of South Africa, you can't really look at it. And that includes the rest of Africa, right? And it's, hey, how do you find a way to assess these people and give them the things that they need and make sure that they can deliver the outcomes that they need? That market is wide open.
Yeah.
It's harder to educate them,
yeah,
for sure, because it's very foreign. But giving people this alternative option starts moving them towards there. And again, subscriptions were built because you want to increase lifetime value,
yeah,
long-term value, reduce, yeah, churn customer. Only once they're in your space and they understand, then you get the chance to properly educate them and you can build that out. I mean, we've got 30% of our base currently that's got more than one subscription purely because they've gone through one cycle and now into a second one, and they see the value and they understand it now. So long story short, yes, there is penetration. Education still has to happen. And I think once we get this and we permeate, you know, a wider South Africa, people will realize, hey, there's an alternative option here. Mm. I need to look at this. And once you start using subscription for one product and in one way, you probably start looking at everything in your life the same way. We live in a disposable economy, you know, like that's what the world is now. If you can find a way to give people the ability to live sort of a disposable sort of lifestyle and still give the value of the products that they want without having the long-term liability, I think you're winning as a subscription model.
I actually like that as a characterization of the circular trends that are happening right now as people move towards subscription, as people also realize the impermanence of, you know, holding on to certain subjects, the difficulty of taking people's entrenched mindsets about ownership and breaking that stuff down. And maybe that's where we can, you know, where you and I can end off, you know, for today. You're the chief marketing officer, which means I'm sure you have a lot of data around who is your typical customer. And my question is, who's the current, your typical customer now? And at least in the coming years, let's call it the short to midterm, what's your strategy? Is it doubling down on that specific segment and growing laterally in that space? Or do you also go and find other segments of people? Because you've stated now, you know, to say that there's these 22 million people out there, right? How do you, you know, are you moving straight from 13,000 trying to attack the 22, or do you sort of, you know, do that in stages?
You know, that's an interesting question. And, you know, I've been working towards that for a long time. I think I'll continue to work towards how do we get to that base. But I think there's two things you need to think about. It's not just about the customer, and I'll talk about that now. It's also about the product set, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a phone. Everybody needs a fridge, all of those things. So we can target everybody. But as we start understanding the customer that we interact with, the data that we amass, we understand that they might come in for a cell phone, but they need a fridge, or they need, you know, a gaming console for the child, or they might need washing machines. So we then start looking at, hey, how do we increase the product set based on the data that we have to start, you know, building out this piece, which then enables us to capture a wider audience, right, based on product. But then you take it back to actually, you know, who's the consumer? And, you know, I say this to investors and they look at me like I'm crazy, but everyone is our customer. It doesn't mean that we don't have segments, but as I said, everybody needs a phone, everybody needs a fridge, everybody needs essential products. How we approach it is that we obviously want to get anybody that has a need for any of these products, we want to be in their sort of option set, right? So we try our hardest through our digital channels to, you know, as soon as people have an interest to get to them. We do have a focus, though, on a slightly younger sort of consumer, right? If you want to break it down to sort of age groups, it's obviously your 18, 24, even up to a 30-year-old. The reason being is that if you can capture that customer now, because in that current state, those people, you know, really with youth unemployment and everything that's happening right now, they need these products the most. It's going to benefit them the most in the long term. So if we can manage to land it with them, we'll be able to grow with those customers. And I mean, the youth, you know, makes up, you know, sort of 50 to 60% of the population anyway, right? So if we can continually grow with them, we then can, you know, attract a customer at 18 and then still be with them at 30, 35, 40, whatever the story is. And I think that's, you know, what we're really trying to do, we're not excluding everybody else. Our focus is trying to get a customer that, you know, is natively understands what subscription is and finds utility from it. A slightly older consumer struggles with it more than anybody else, but we still have consumers. I think it's just about, you know, even sort of like the boomers, if you want to bucket them, they, like, you know, even my dad, I have conversations with him all the time. I don't think he knows what I do still. You know, he just goes, hey, you know, I need a phone. Can you just give me that thing? You know, I'll give you this much money. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that, you know? And he's like, why would I want to do that? So this is a difficult conversation at the top, but if, you know, it's easier to land with the younger consumer because, as I said, you know, this is the way the world is moving. You know, there's so many of these models. They're going and saying, oh, if I can get this on subscription, why can't I get this? Why can't I get this? Why can't I get this? And then they can live the lifestyle that they want as their lifestyle changes by just accessing the products when they need. So that makes business sense for us. And it also helps us land the proposition of subscription and educate very quickly. So my focus is there. Obviously, we're going to try and permeate the rest of the country. We're working on some partnerships. So stay tuned on that to increase the distribution. A lot more people will see the business in, over the next year. And we'll surely be able to sort of, you know, double down on this growth. We're actually trying to get to double what we are this year over the next 12 months. So that's my growth ambitions. To grow at 100%, we actually grew at about 108% last year revenue. So if we can continue that, I think we'll be doing a good job.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, if you were to grow at that specific rate, it would only be maybe 3 or 4 years before, you know, you are probably in the billions. As an entity, as an enterprise. So that's been it. It has been a really great conversation. You know, just chatting to Michonne about what's going on, in this, I'm just going to call it the subscription economy. You know, one of the things that he speaks about quite a bit is that, there is a change, you know, amongst, consumers towards, having multiple subscriptions in multiple, you know, parts of their lives. And, you know, he's a firm believer that everything is going to become a subscription at some point as people demand and want a certain lifestyle, but you don't necessarily have the money on hand to pay for certain goods, or you don't want to spend all your money on those particular goods. The flexibility that subscription provides, gives you access to different, you know, segments of the market. And then obviously, from a business point of view, we have seen that there's a big move towards annuity and recurring types of revenue because it's easier to, you know, secure that and to plan going forward as a business. So that's been it. Thank you so much. We're in conversation with Michonne Ratan, who is the Chief Marketing Officer and also co-founder at Rentoza. Michonne, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Now that we have an understanding of, you know, how Rentoza's business, you know, has come about and, you know, the strategy, we actually decided to, you know, get into some of the operations and talk to some of the team members that are actually helping to, you know, drive products in and out, you know, of the business, maybe get into a little bit of the nitty-gritties.
So my name is Mpo Mulapisi. I'm the technician for Rentoza. So basically what Circular Flow is, our main object is to circulate devices. So customers, either they upgrade, we collect, or it's repos. And then we obviously do a QC check assessment in terms of repairs. If everything is okay, and we have a green light that the phone is in a fulfillable state, we fulfill it to the next customer at a CPO price.
What's a CPO price?
So CPO price is basically a discounted phone.
Yeah.
Depending on the condition of the phone. So whether it has a dent or a scratch or just a minor chip on the bezel of the phone, then we would discount the phone. It's also known as a certified pre-owned device.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm Tanush Chetty, and I oversee parts of the operations within Rentoza. So from a procurement, circular flow, logistics, insurance perspective. And I'm just helping to coordinate and sort of get our flow going.
Okay, cool. Circular flow, she's just mentioned, you know, maybe what it takes to get a phone, you know, ready.
as a whole, mm-hmm. who designed this process, you know, in this room that we're in, and how many steps are there? And maybe you could walk us through whatever you can share mm-hmm. in terms of walking through, you know, the whole process. And is it also the same process for all devices? She mentioned the example of a phone, mm-hmm. or are there different, you know, levels depending on whether it's a gaming console or maybe a TV or something like mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, so we have a few different categories. We have technology, where you will have your mobile phones, laptops, tablets, etc. And then we have appliances, so fridges, washing machines, microwaves. We have fitness. So across the board, treadmills, exercise bikes, etc. We also have baby goods, which is where the business actually started. So strollers and car seats, that ilk of product. The idea, and I'm not sure how much you know about the origin of Rientosa. So it was sort of, you know, just one little guy who was sitting in the UK at the time, and he has three little girls. And he is South African. So every time he traveled to South Africa, he found it difficult to get the equipment that he needed in terms of car seats and strollers, etc. And they're still quite little. And so that's where the idea came from. It's just like, because he couldn't source what he needed just for the time period that he was in South Africa.
Yeah.
So with three of his childhood friends, they started this business. So it was practically, well, basically started from his kitchen in the UK, and it's now sort of built up to this with 200 employees. So the idea behind it initially was rent to own, and the model changed now to subscription. and the secondhand market has grown substantially within South Africa, and I think worldwide as well. In terms of the steps and how this works, so, you know, say a customer, as Impor said, just further to what Impor said, so, you know, the idea is to make the newest possible devices accessible to the average South African, because not all of us have 20 to 30 grand to drop on the newest technology, right? So that's the whole idea. We have subscription terms from 3, 6, 9, 12, up to 18 and 24 months. At any point within that subscription term, if you say, for example, you're an iPhone person and you have the iPhone 14, and then come September, the iPhone 15 is being launched. If you've had that device, say, for 4 to 5 months, you have the option of handing it back to us at no cost. And for whatever the new the iPhone 15 sub price is on the website, you are able to hand that in and then take the next level up at that subscription price. So there's no real cost to the customer in that way. So you can always just be, you know, at the forefront of technology through Rientosa without actually spending that much more. So it's all about dispensable cash for the average South African.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But one of the things that I'm then curious about, you know, in terms of the circular piece mm-hmm. is you're a technician, right? What are the standards? You know, because we're talking about getting technology into people's hands that's as close to new, you know, as possible. And I ask that simply because I guess what it takes for a gaming console to be considered to be in tip-top condition, whether it's the hardware or the software itself, having the latest OS, all of that stuff, what are you guys at least guaranteeing to the customer on a technical side when you know, get something through the door and by the time it gets out to a customer?
So basically, well, we do assessments first. We check the hardware of the phone physically, and then we check if it needs a software update, if the camera is working, if the buttons or the screen touches. Mm. So normally we would do like a little diagnostic to check if the phone is okay. Obviously, if it's not okay, we have to send it out for repairs or do internal repairs. But obviously, we state to our customers that so-and-so phone is in a like-new state. So like-new state means the phone is still in pristine condition, doesn't have a scratch, it doesn't have a dent. Camera still works like it's from the first day from the manufacturer. So such things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things I'm also trying to, understand is for someone who hasn't heard of Rentoza before, when they get onto your platform, do you guys have maybe a rating scale or something like that, you know, as to what the condition of a product is? Because sometimes when something has been used by someone else, the descriptions tend to be a bit fuzzy sometimes. Some people embellish, you know, how good of a state it's in. Some people might underplay, you know, and say, oh no, it's actually been used, it's worn, but you touch the thing and it's actually as good as new. So yeah, it's just wondering about that.
So look, it's like Mpo said, it's either like new or if it isn't, then it's put onto the site at a discounted price. So it is our intention to put anything out that's pre-loved in the best possible condition that it is. Where we do have any, if there are any customers who come back to us with any sort of concerns or that sort of thing, we have a CX department here who sort of, you know, converses with the customer. If there is a device where we may need to send something out that might be in a condition that is not like new, then there's a conversation that's had with the customer beforehand, or even pictures that are sent, that, you know, but that doesn't happen very often. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then I think lastly, to wrap this portion up, maybe I'll get a sense from both of you. What is, it's two things that I'm curious about is, firstly, what's popular, right, from in terms of what is being demanded versus what actually comes through the door? Like, what are people actually coming in and saying, you know, this is something that, or what you anticipate is going to be a product that's popular in terms of coming through the door? What's being demanded on the other side? I guess this is like, I'm sure you have data, but also just there's an experience portion as well.
So, well, mobiles is about 70% of our business.
Oh, really?
And really, it's as you would expect, iOS and Samsung. That's our biggest demand, really. And yeah, the demand is exactly the same. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal how it's taken over. We also have, from a appliance perspective, I mean, fridges seem to be the top subcategory within appliances. Yeah, it's phenomenal, actually. It hasn't seemed to have slowed down. It's actually just the trajectory is just, yeah, it's amazing.
You know, I know that everything is now on a subscription, but I never thought that we would be subscribing for fridges. Okay, yeah. Cool. And then
as you can imagine, in January with treadmills and exercise bikes, like all of us.
Oh, okay. So you also see the same seasonal effects that other products.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
And then maybe just as a follow-up, you know, on the technical side, my impression is that things that are pre-loved are going to come in various conditions, but that it's not going to be always great, right? On balance, is it good or is it bad? Like what people submit, right? What's the state that you normally get something in? Because obviously, like you said earlier on, you then send them for repairs and, you know, all of that stuff. But typically when you guys receive something, I guess the question I'm asking is, how much love do you have to give something that's been pre-loved, you know, to send it out the door?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say before sending out the phone, at least give it a 9 or like 8.5 before sending it to the next customer.
Yeah.
So that they can still have that experience of having a new phone, even though it's a pre-loved phone. It's still a new phone to them after all. So I'd say give it an 8.
An 8.
Just to ensure that it's, you know, even though it's been to from another customer, still you have to, you know.
If you're typically on an 8 out the door, when it comes into the door, where is it?
When it comes back.
When it comes through the door first, before you send it out, you guys are testing them, etc. But at what number do you receive it at? Because you're trying to get it to an 8.
Yeah, it depends on the customer and how they treat devices. Sometimes we get it like at a 1, and then we have to send it for repairs. If it's back for repairs, that's when we can send to another customer. Sometimes you could find that the customer only subscribed for 1 month and the phone is still good as new. So that would be like an 8 or a 9. Yeah. Yeah, it depends, yeah.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.